Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, continuing our look at in the study of the Feast of Tabernacles, we begin to talk about last Sunday, we talked about the booth and the branches. And what each one of those trees, the limbs represented. And I still hear home. Maybe. Can you hear it? Oh, there it goes. So tonight I want to take a look at in the Feast of Tabernacles, and we talked about it, but there's several things, but bearing out in the scriptures. But tonight I want to take a look at the Feast of Tabernacles is the Feast of Unity. There's unity in the Feast of Tabernacles. And one of the reasons we have to know that there's... if let's turn real quickly to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. Verse 40, and you shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days, and you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. And you shall celebrate it in the 7th month, and you shall dwell in booths 7 days. All the Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So he had the, if I can use the word command, for every Israelite to do the exact same thing, and that was to dwell in a booth. Okay? So when he had them all do the exact same thing, what he was getting them to try to understand, that he was trying to unify them, okay? He was trying to unify them and bring them into this place of the Spirit. All right? And one of the things that we have to understand about, turn with me to, let's just read this, Exodus 34, real quick. Exodus 34. Verse 24. For I will cast out the nations before thee and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land. When thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God 3 times in a year. So what the Israelites had to do was they had to leave everything behind. And they had to go to Jerusalem to worship. They had to come together as one people. And we read that in Nehemiah, right, last Sunday, where they came together as one man, right? And when we read that, we have an understanding that God is trying to unify his people. If you remember, at Jericho, Joshua got them all to cross over, right? And once they crossed over, then he gave them instructions that they were to march around the city, the wall, right? The city of Jericho. And they were not to do anything except for what the command was. They couldn't question the command. The real truth of the matter is, if we understand unity, God has a filtering process. He really does. And the filtering process, if we, like, I can't get over, I hope you all took the time to read The Harness of the Lord. The filtering process is the corral. Another, or the fire. It's a filtering process. You know, and my mind has really expanded a lot on the corral. Like, if we make, you know, if we, like, let's take David, all right? David, we know that he messed up several times, don't we? But he never left the corral. He just wasn't ready for the harness. Many people will try to identify with David's failures, but they're outside the corral. You see the difference? And what they were actually doing when you stay in the corral is you're identifying or unifying with number one. Right? And so when the voice of Joshua declared to them what to do, Joshua already knew that the crowd that wasn't going to listen to him fell asleep in the desert. Right? And God still works that way. He filters out. And we say, no, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. Well, let me ask you, if you're building a sports team, a financial team, you know, if you're trying to always get people that are what? On board with you. You know, we like to say they drink the Kool-Aid, right? In God's economy, we must drink the Kool-Aid. Well, what is the Kool-Aid? It's his blood. Right? It's his life. Isn't it? This is why he said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Because I'm the manna that came down from heaven. And if you do that, you're going to what? Live. All right. So Israel left everything behind and came together as one people or one man. Listen, until the church, folks, whether you're in this room or not in this room, until we come to the idea, no, let me rephrase that. Until we come to the place of actually leaving everything behind and coming together as one man, we will not, no matter how much we think, we will not be unified. Because there's only one type of unity God's after, and that is where everybody does what God wants. Now, I have a question for you. Did God speak to all the children of Israel? Yes. I'm talking about the Jericho situation. He did. But how did he do it? Through Joshua. Through his chosen voice. So when we get to the New Testament, right? And Jesus, well, we're not really in the New Testament yet, but when Jesus stood up and he read, you know, out of Isaiah, and he said, this was me, they couldn't realize he was the heavenly Joshua. Because all they could see was a man. And they couldn't hear the voice of God. I wonder how often that happens today. Right? Unity. Unity is not, you're all right, I'm all right, so you do what you want to do and I'll do what I want to do. That's not unity. But we call it unity. for sake of harmony. Right? Yeah, all is well. Everything's good. Yeah. But unity is being unified with God and one another. Right? So, we have to understand that the Feast of Tabernacles is a feast of unity. The walls of Jericho would have never came down if they weren't all unified. In Gideon's army, they would not have been able to destroy the Midianites if the 300 men that chose to drink from the hand, like a dog, right? Which, by the way, anybody know why it was a dog? What? Remember the message? Dogs are what? Well, I didn't hear. What did you say, Corey? Obedient or loyal, right? Yeah, loyalty. Yeah. Blind faith, right? Yeah. See, we hear the word blind and it might throw us, but that's not really that you have no vision. It's that you're willing to follow God even when it doesn't look like it's in my favor, right? You know, I was thinking about this today. I was thinking about, geez, I wonder, you know, with John the Baptist. You know, the Bible says that Jesus loved John the Baptist, didn't he? And he mourned when he wouldn't even visit him, right? Went to see, you know, when he was in jail, and he didn't get him out of jail. How come? Didn't stop him from getting his head cut off, did he? But I guarantee you they were unified. They only had one purpose, and that was to please the Father. Amen? So turn with me, let's see, where do I want to start? Let's start at John chapter 17. We all know this. We should anyway. John chapter 17. And I'm not going to spend the whole, I'd like to read the whole chapter, but I'm not going to. I think this gets quoted more than we know. Oh, where do I want to start? Let's start at verse 21. You need to read the whole chapter. All right? Verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So this final feast is marked by unity, oneness in God, oneness in Christ, that we all might be one. Did you hear that? One. All right. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sothenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord, the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from our God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance, in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end. Why? That you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship. Remember that? Remember that? The fellowship? The koinonia? Remember that? The partnership? Participation? Social intercourse is what it's called. Are you with me? Communion, fellowship, distribution. By whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now listen to this verse. Here's my verse. Now I beseech you. Do we know what the word beseech means? It means to call near. Come here and listen to this. Now, what are we talking about tonight? Unity. The Feast of Tabernacles is a feast or a celebration or a festival of unity. Now, if we need the idea of what unity is, we just read it in John chapter 17. We cannot have unity in a vertical stance only. And we can't have unity in a horizontal stance only. We must have a complete cross, vertical, individual, horizontal, corporate. Are you with me? I think I just said something. How do we get there? When we die to our own desires. Now listen to this. So he says, I beseech thee, or I'm calling you near. That is, I'm inviting you, right? I'm entreating you. I'm praying. Come here. Just listen to this. This is what he's saying. Now I beseech you, brethren. Now he's talking to the church, isn't he? By the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Now why would he say that? Is it any wonder that the world or the unbelieving world is confused by Christianity? I guarantee you right here in this church, not everybody believes what I believe. And yet we're trying to sell the goods, right? Buy the truth and sell it not, but what we're trying to sell, which is of God, people aren't buying, are they? Doesn't matter what we say with our mouths. We can quote the scriptures to, you know, like a scholar. You know what we've really been good at? Reading, studying, preaching. And it hasn't made an impact of transformation in our lives at all. It's been head knowledge and not reality. And this is why he's calling us near. To show us that this feast must be a feast of unity. I like that's where he begins.
where he begins. The branch man, the booth, is marked by unity. It doesn't matter what I say. And listen, unity isn't unity. I don't, you know, if you want me to, you know, bend or kowtow to the way you act, that's not unity. Unity is singleness of mind and purpose in Christ. Because we've left everything else behind. Are you with me? See, we're no different than the rapture folks. Now, you guys aren't old enough to understand this, but the rapture folks figured that they didn't have to get along with people in church, that they just had to believe in Jesus. And when Jesus took them to heaven, everything, they either die or fly, right? Then everything was going to work out. But if we couldn't get along on earth, what makes us think we're going to get along in heaven when he's telling us that heaven must come to earth? And the proof of heaven being in the earth, watch this, the number one thing is unity. Unity. The Feast of Tabernacles is marked by unity. Now watch this. Jeroboam had a feast, didn't he? He only put his in the 8th month, still on the 15th day. But his was purely a counterfeit. Unity, joy, anointing, all the same exact ingredients. But it was a counterfeit, wasn't it? You know what the Bible says? If you go read that, it says it was a device of his own mind. Psychology. Yeah. Okay, let me finish here. That you all speak the same thing. And that there be no divisions among you. Well, you know, I only believe what part of the preacher says. I don't believe everything he says. That's a division, which just goes to show we don't have unity. See, we can't be one with him if there's no unity, right? All right. And that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together, where? In the same mind and in the same judgment. We don't want to read the rest of this, for it had been, now these are new creations, born again folks, that he says, it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Yeah, I don't get along with everybody. And I don't believe everything everybody says. We don't understand. It's carnal. It's flesh. It doesn't matter how petty it is or how small it is. It just proves the condition of the heart. Watch this. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. Are you all right tonight? Well, some of you are. Matthew 24. You know, and the disciples wanted to hear, well, hey, when's the end? When's the end, right? And he went through all this stuff, wars, Roman wars, all that kind of stuff. But he gets down to verse 12. You ready? And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax or grow cold. You remember when Jesus, I don't know if it was the Pharisees or the Sadducees, they came to Jesus and they said, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? Remember that? And how come Moses, and Jesus said, hey, it hasn't been, it wasn't that way. From the beginning, it wasn't that way. He said, but the reason that Moses gave divorce was because why? There was a lack of unity. He said, there's no reason for a divorce of any kind except fornication or adultery, right? No reason. And he said, Jesus said, this has nothing to do with whether it's an Old Testament or a New Testament. He said, this is from the beginning. This, and he wasn't talking about Adam and Eve. He was talking about the beginning being God in his heart. This is what he was trying to produce, was a unity in humanity that was one with him or on the same page with God. A booth. And this is why Jesus declared, he could declare that, hey, Father, I and you are one. We are the example of what you want the whole body to be like. The whole booth. The whole feast of tabernacle. He said, because of the hardness of your heart. Really, the truth of the matter is most people want it their own way. When God's trying to unify. See, this is about, the Feast of Tabernacles is about His purpose. His unity. His life. What He is doing. Not man's interpretation. Even Paul said, hey, they'll come and they'll preach another what? Jesus. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 16, you ready? For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Why? It's so we can be one with him. No other reason. It's not to make us smarter. It's not to make us think we know more than everybody else. It's because we come into a oneness with Him and one another. That is, come on, what is glory? It's the Greek word, but doxa something, right? And it means the thinking mind of God. In other words, thinking like Him. Has God ever changed His mind? No. His purpose has never changed. Whether there was a need for salvation or not. Most folks are still living or trying to live in the redemptive side, and we still need that, don't get me wrong, because it's not been, the work hasn't been finished in us yet. It got started, but it hasn't been finished. This is why he said that we all might be one. Become, be made one. The corral. The furnace, the wilderness. Think about the generation that died in the wilderness. What was their problem? Complainers, lustful because they wanted the past, always looking for something new. It's the only thing that made them happy. But God's looking for a people that can be unified. Not like the Tower of Babel. Not like Jeroboam's feast. But like the early church that paid a heavy price because they stayed the course. regardless of what was going on around them. We have the mind of Christ. And the reason is so that we can get on His page and not manipulate to get other people to do what you want and create a false unity and make it religious. It's not the way of God. Are you with me? Turn with me to chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. We have the mind of Christ. Did you hear that? So we can get on His page and become one with Him. I'm already on His page. Well, we need to be pasted to it. Don't let the page get turned, right? Now, he goes through and he talks about, you know, the different gifts or the different... I don't like the word gifts because... For most people, it makes them think that they have something, or I like the word expression or experience better. Right? But I shouldn't really change my way of thinking because of what, you know, man has done by hijacking things, right? Okay, so we get down here, verse 11. To all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. Which I like that. If I need to do this, I will do this. It is clarification that God gives according to His own desire. Not because I want a gift, but because of how He deals it out. How can you say that? Well, let's read the rest. Here we go. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, watch this, so also is Christ. Now, what do we have the mind of? Christ. He sets in the body as it pleases Him. You know what? I'm glad the whole world isn't engineers. Because if they were all engineers, I would be in trouble because we wouldn't have any farmers. And we wouldn't have any musicians, and we wouldn't have any of this, that, or the other thing. And so therefore, God, you know what? I'm glad we're all not multi-billionaires, because nobody would work. He sets in the body as it pleases Him. Many members, one body. Watch this. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. How many spirits? One. Are there more than one Spirit? Yes. But He's talking about one particular Spirit. It's the Spirit of Christ. This is why He gave us the mind of Christ, so that we could be unified, knowing there is no other Spirit to be unified with but Christ. The Feast of Tabernacles is a feast of unity, oneness. Are you with me? For the body is not one member, but many. Can I say this without hurting anyone's feelings? The world does not revolve around you and what you think, or how you feel, or what you say. It does not. The world must revolve around the Son. S-O-N. My eye tells me every day that the sun revolves around the earth. But my understanding straightens that out. Our lives must be Christ-centered if we really, truly want to be unified. And it isn't with just lip service, it's leaving everything behind and coming together as one. And God help me to keep my mouth shut, because if I went to meddling, right? Well, who do you think you are? I have the right. I didn't ask for this spot. And if you want to cut my head off, that's okay. Because they hung the Savior, the one who wants us to be one with Him. The same folks that cried, Hosanna, oh Jesus, we love you, were the same folks that cried, Crucify Him, only 3 days later. Is it any wonder that the Bible instructs us to let us know that God doesn't look at the outside, but He ponders the what? The heart. Some people let their countenance show on their face, one way or the other, good or bad. But God still looks at the heart. It's what He does. The whole point of this whole section about being unified is ask yourself this question. How many of you would want a foot? Look up here. Right here. Would you want a foot sticking out of your face? No. So He puts a foot exactly where He knows it needs to be. I have a question. Anybody in here smarter than God? Then I guess He put us right where He wants us to be. Now I can walk away from that spot. Right? I have a free will. I'm not a robot. Robot. Are you with me? Right? We can walk away if we want, can't we? How many know you can stay right here and walk away? Yeah. How do you know that? Because then we're not unified. People do it all the time. And then eventually God sends a wind. Limbs fall out of trees. I can't help it. I didn't make the rules. I never did. It only just breaks my heart and I just have to pick up sticks. And are you with me? Are you all right? Turn with me now to Ephesians chapter 4. What are we talking about tonight? Unity where? In the feast. The feast of ingathering. I have a question for you. Isn't it really kind of this way? Can it be a true ingathering if there is any unity? It cannot. If I have a sports team and not everybody's on the same page, what happens? We've seen historical, those of us that like sports and we follow sports, you can have all the most talented players on the whole team, and still not even come close to winning. Pay them the highest salaries and not even come close to winning. Right? I always like, you know, to think about this, how the Red Wings, back when they were getting good and starting to win Stanley Cups, that they got a player that nobody wanted, and they were able to get him for a dollar. And he ended up with his name on the Stanley Cup 5 times. Because he was willing to understand his role. He might have been a superstar his whole life growing up, but to play and win in the top league of the world, he had to find his role, his part in the body or team. Are you with me? By the way, what's the Stanley Cup called? The Holy Grail. Yeah, you'll get that. That's just a little extra for you. Here we go. Ready? I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now, what have you been called to? Unity. Oneness with Him. Christ. Hello? You have no other purpose. Listen, the truth of the matter is when I've been given, you know, we sing a song, I'm free to dance, I'm free to, you know, no, that's not what He gave you freedom for. He didn't. Those might be attributes after, but the truth of the matter is He gave us freedom to be one with Him. Yeah. He gave us freedom to be able to do what He wants. And every time we choose to do what we want, there's a lack of unity. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. How should I walk that way? With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Geez, I have to put up with you? Are you with me? Endeavoring. Now, do you know what that word endeavoring means? It means to use speed to make effort prompt and earnest. Endeavoring, or be fast about, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What do you have to keep the unity of? The Spirit. We just got done reading in Corinthians. How many spirit? What spirit are we talking about? One Spirit. His Spirit. So is Christ. One Spirit. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is, everybody say this with me, there is one body and one Spirit. And as you are called in one hope of your calling. You only have one calling. God called me to be a preacher. No, that's an assignment. God called me to be a song leader, a prophet. No, those are just assignments or activities. I hate to use that word. In the body of Christ. Are you with me? Only one body, one Spirit, one calling, one Lord. Watch this, one faith, one baptism. Geez, do you know how many different ways Christians that call themselves Christians actually baptize? And yet the Bible says right here. Because everybody thinks that theirs is right. But what does the Scripture say? One. One baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. That's why we call these the ascension gifts. All right? Let's see, what did he give? Oh, wait, now that he ascended, what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Here we go. And he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers. Here's the gifts, right? For what reason? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until, or till, it's a time word, isn't it? Till what? We come in the unity of the faith. You do know what the word unity means, right? It means oneness. And of the knowledge of the Son of God under the stature, under the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness. See, we read John 17, and he was declaring what the fullness was. I have a question for you, seriously. Do you think Jesus is wondering what's for dinner tonight? I wonder if the temperature's just right in the house. I wonder if the clothes that I'm going to wear, you know, the color of my walls. I wonder if the car, oh, here's a good one. I wonder if he worries about what the price of gas is. Well, why would you even say any of that? He doesn't have to worry, because he just told us that we might be one with him. The mind of Christ. Set your mind on things above. And see, the reason we get so distracted is because everything is earthbound in our thinking. You know why we aren't unified and don't get along with one another? Earthbound and not heavenbound. I remember when, you know, Brett Hull was one of my favorite hockey players. And when he was on the Dallas Stars, he could not stand the coach, Ken Hitchcock. And the reason was because he didn't like to play the style of hockey that Ken Hitchcock, and it was called dump and chase. Shoot the puck in and go in and chase it. So Brett Hull thought he was going to be funny and just shot it in and never chased it. And so he got benched. Right? But he finally bought into it. And then he finally won a Stanley Cup. All God's trying to do is get a people that's going to buy into his way so that they can see all of his promises come to the fullness of Christ. What did they have to do in tabernacles? They had to leave everything behind. Now, if you don't understand what everything behind is, watch this. You ready? Forgetting those things, or the way I think, the way I feel, the way I act, the way I see things has to be left behind. The way I complain, the way I whine, the way I don't get my own way has to be left behind. Because we can't become a booth. Are you all right? I'm not done. I'm almost done. Here we go. I got to get moving. And he says that we be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro, carried about every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait. See, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love. In other words, the body has to be strong. Each part has to be working so it can be structurally sound. You ever think about this? Just the natural body. How many different systems are in it? And each one is perfect, and yet they all have to work in conjunction with one another, or there'd be chaos. The reason he gave us a body was so we could understand what he really wanted in a body, a booth, a tabernacle. And it begins by him giving us the mind. Just because we have the mind of Christ doesn't mean we use it. See, that's the foolishness of most Christians. I got the mind of Christ. Well, use it then. That's what I say. Psalms 133, and I'm all done. Psalms. I could have gone a lot more, but I won't. Psalms 133. Feast of Unity is in the Feast of Tabernacles. It's a celebration of unity, oneness. It's not a celebration of separation. I do my thing, you do yours. And I'm talking about Christ. Are you with me? Here we go. A song of degrees, I like that, of David. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Do you realize, I was talking to my brother, he told me this like a few weeks ago. He said he was talking to some Christians, and he's pretty close to them, and that they do not believe that Christ existed in the Old Testament. One Spirit always was. And the reason is because they don't use that mind of Christ and don't read their Bibles and are stuck in the traditions, the things they're supposed to leave behind. Most folks only see Jesus as Christ. But here is Christ telling us, the Spirit of Christ through David, telling us how pleasant, how good it is for brethren to dwell together in unity or as a unit. Anybody want to be a traitor? Do you know what a traitor's name is? Judas. You do realize Judas is a rendering of Judah, which we all like to praise and worship. Hallelujah. A Song of Degrees of David. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, maturity, even Aaron's beard, the high priest that is mature, or a royal priesthood, that went down to the skirts of his garment. It goes to the extremity. Remember this? The Son of Righteousness arises with what? Healing in his wings or his extremities. And we saw that happen when the woman with an issue of blood, what happened? She touched the hem of his, because there was life in the outer extremes of a body that is unified with the head. We have an upside down world. Children think they're in charge. Families are messed up. This is why we have it. Because we're not unified to the head. We stopped holding up the head. As the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. Not every place. Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. By the way, I have a question. What makes us live? Being joined to the vine as a branch man that is unified with him and one another. Amen? Can I say this to you also? You can't produce unity. You can try, but I guarantee you, you can't do it. I can't do it. The only one who can produce the unity that God is after is him. And it only happens, watch this, when we respond to him and not react. We must respond to him. Amen? Let's stand. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your word, your goodness, your mercy. Help us, Jesus. We need help. I need help, God. Where we need help, God, is in the mind. The way we think. Help us, Jesus. A true feast, God. This is what you're after. A feast of unity. That you can bring forth the command, the blessing, life forevermore. God, we praise you and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.